You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. Jim, he's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Atlas walls, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stylish knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody. Marco Bill again. How is everybody? Everything's good in California, finally. There's quite a few people out there that are been taken ill. Over the past week or so, I've been getting some phone calls and also just secondhand messages and things. And so what I'd like to do tonight is to all of our listeners and our family out there, just wish them well and get them some prayers out there to help them along. We all need a little help once in a while ourselves. So, that's what we extend out there tonight, is prayers and well wishes to all of our friends and family. Also, we've, again, the hotline's been pretty hot. Got a lot of things going on all over the place. And we're going to find that out. My gosh, Steve from New York gave me a call the other day, and he's having some things, but just before the show, he had stuff going on right in his backyard again. So he's having a heck of a time over there in New York. Let's go up there and talk to Steve. Steve, how are you tonight?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Well, gosh, you know, no feast or famine year area, huh? It's all feast.
Buddy, I tell you, it's all feast here. It's incredible. You know, first of all, let me start off. Last week when we were done doing the show, I was driving home, and I got out of my car, okay? And I took a couple of steps, and, you know, towards the left, and I heard a little bit of tussling or a branch break, and I looked over there, and guess what was standing there? It was a Sasquatch. I saw its yellow eyes peering at me, okay? It was like a dark yellowish color, and different from, you know, the one that I've seen in the past where it was more greenish-yellow, you know what I mean? And, you know, again, of course, it scared the living daylights out of me. Did it surprise me? No. It shocked me a little bit, yes, but it didn't surprise me, you know, and I just went right into the house, and then about 45 minutes ago, I heard some tree knocks, and then I heard some owls in the woods. And you know what? This is definitely a big-time hotspot. This has been going on for a very, very long time. This has been going on for me since I was a child when I saw the first one. That was right alongside of my, you know, right alongside of the house over here. And it was looking at me, and, you know, I've seen so many of these creatures, and, again, to reiterate again, like I've said in the past, you know, I consider myself blessed that I've been able to see so many and have a lot of activity going on. And, you know, like I always say to you, I think it's, you know, it's a great opportunity for someone to come out here and to do an investigation. I'm sure they'll be able to get a lot of stuff out of it, guarantee you.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been in touch with Richard, right?
Yes, I have. I've been speaking with him, and he's not that far from me, and, you know, I think there's a lot of them in New York State. There really is. There's a lot of them. Like I was talking.
Well, we know there are. I mean, we've had sightings in New York State here for a long, long time.
Absolutely. You know, and you know, as far as with the tree formations and so on and so forth, I spend time in New York City, and I, you know, once in a while, and because my daughter lives there, and I walk around Central Park, and you know, I've never seen that one tree formation there. You know what I mean? I've never even seen a branch broken or bent the way that the Sasquatches do it, because obviously there isn't any in New York City and Central Park. But, you know, over here in New York State and throughout our whole entire country, there's a lot of them. And, you know, you know, when you learn what to look for and you could see them, I mean, I'm driving here, you know, on the roads all over the place, not that far from my house, and I see tree formations. And, you know, I'm going to, one of these days when I feel a little bit better, I'm going to take some pictures and send them to you. And you're going to see some of these things are incredible. I mean, there's one in particular where there's a real big oak tree that's down, right? And they actually, you know, when they put it, like, between another tree and they have it, like, put up in a position, have the thing, like, on an angle? There's one over there that's not that far from where I live. And I looked at it, I'm like, you know, these creatures are so strong. It's just unbelievable, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if one was able to do it, but I'm sure probably one or two or three probably picked up this branch or put it in this position. I got to send you the picture, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. And, you know, it's incredible that, you know, there's just so many of them. And I think, you know, it's only a matter of time, like I said last week, it's only a matter of time before, you know, the truth is known about these creatures. And I know that there's so many people who do see them who don't say anything, and the part of the percentage of someone saying something is probably less than 1%, I guess, you know. But eventually,
sure.
You know, everyone's going to probably just understand that, you know, the way to get the point across to everyone is to say something about it, and I'm sure it's only a matter of time before we do get one of these things.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're in an area where, as we discussed before the show, it's the probably the mating season, but it's also the migration season.
Yes.
And so there's going to be a lot of activity. In fact, there is a lot of activity all over right now because of that. You know, places where you don't normally get calls from, you know, all of a sudden you get calls. I mean, I got 3 calls from Michigan this week. Almost the same time last year, I had the same people call me. You know, they have, they have 10 bears out there. They got a bunch of bears that they take care of, and they've had all kinds of activity going on, lots of stuff going on where the creatures have been taking
right.
their, you know, they have these bait traps, and they got a big old sheet of plywood with a log over the top of it, and I mean, the log and the plywood and all the other stuff are all tossed all around, and a bear can't do that. A bear can't toss stuff around.
And, well, I've spoken to you in the past about the time when they threw a big log at me, and I went back with a couple of people, and we couldn't pick it up. It was two grown men, other than me, and we were both big guys. All three of us.
Absolutely.
Big guys, strong
guys. They're pretty strong things.
You got that right, buddy. They are, and they're very, very intelligent. They're very smart, and they're very. You know what it is? Like I always say, I'll say this until the day I die. What does them in, as far as people seeing, I think most of the time, is their curiosity. They're very curious.
Oh yeah, and that's where they come. I mean, you got to know that when you walk out in the woods in their area, they know what's out there. They know that you're there.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we don't know they're there until we see them or see some signs. But usually, by the time we see their signs, I mean, they're well established, well put in there. They keep an eye on us and follow us around and find out what we do, and it's a pretty neat. It's kind of a neat thing, there's nothing wrong with being scared.
No.
Obviously, something that's, 8 foot tall, big, and something that you're not used to, dealing with. I mean, that's a scary feature just in itself, and you don't know. You never know for sure, so you want to be wary. I mean, you just don't want to be. You don't want to be, just careless. And, like that one kid, I don't know if everybody's seen that one kid. He's a buddy with a bear, for a year until the bear ate him and his girlfriend up.
Oh, man.
And he was, people are trying to warn him, it's a wild animal, you can't do that. And he'd go up there, no, this is, I'm one with nature. Well, you can be one with nature, but if you are the chicken on the plate,
that's
what you are, the chicken on the plate.
Yeah, well, believe me, I have a lot of respect for these creatures, and I think one of the reasons why there's a little bit of fear there for me, other than the fact that they're so big, is that one time in particular when I came home, and right to the left, about 20 feet away, there was one with that tremendous roar, letting out a roar, and I wasn't the only person, by the way, that was in the car who heard it, and it scared the living deal out of the other two people that were in the car as well. And that's like a ringing thought they always have in the head, and I have too, because it was directed towards me. I obviously pissed it off, because like I always say to you, when I come home, I do a lap down around where the tennis courts are over here by my home, and I put the lights on in the woods and stuff like that. And that day in particular, I was way back in the woods, and I was doing knocks, and I was doing the yells to get them. And also that same exact night, son of a, hit the side of the house, too, We were talking about
that. Yeah, I know, before. I know. And that's a common thing, as I told you. It's a they had a lady, a young girl here, about last year. And she was in, where was it? I can't remember if it was... Was Arkansas or Kansas? Arkansas, I think. Anyway, she was, out in the garden hauling weeds and stuff. And she was about 17 years old. And she's just minding her business, hauling, the weeds. And her grandfather is kind of elderly, right? And he was hobbling over on the side of the, before he had been, walking around the garden and stuff. So she thought it was her grandfather, and it was kind of making a grunt, right?
Yeah, I know that grunt.
And she didn't pay any attention to it. Finally, she stood up to, because her muscles are getting sore and everything, and she was going to take a stretch. She took a stretch and turned around, expecting to see her grandfather, and here was this 8-foot creature sitting on the side of the garden watching her. Oh. And of course, she didn't. I mean, she lost it. She screamed and threw the hoe up in the air and took off running to the house and got in the house and locked the door. And of course, the creature just made a howl and took off. But those kinds of incidents happen all the time, and right. It's enough to scare the heck out of you. I mean,
it sure is, you know, buddy. And like you said before, again, you know, this is the time of the year right here now in New York State. I'm sure throughout our beautiful country as well. Everything is in full blossom with the leaves and the trees and so on and so forth. And the amount of colors.
Well, a lot of people, Steve, a lot of people think New York, they only think of this city.
Yeah.
And they don't think of New York, but 90% of New York is a lot of farming, country, and it's a beautiful place. I mean, beautiful, beautiful place. And
like I said to you the last time, buddy, I live right along the Appalachian Trail here. And, I think, for a fact, these things, although, like I told you before, these things have been here since the beginning of time. And, the first encounter I had when I was a very young child when I saw it, the first one I saw. And I know for a fact that they're here year-round, and because we have over here, we have a tremendous amount of resources for these creatures, whether it's water, I have a stream, I have a lake, the tons of deer that are here, and, the vegetation that's here, and there's there's a lot of orchards around here with apples and berries and anything you can
eat. And those are all the things they like.
All the things they like are here. You know what I mean? And, every day here, honestly, I almost expect something to happen every single day, and especially this time of the year. And this has been going on for years and years and years. Especially
sure.
right now, buddy, in May, June, July, and August. This is when I've always had the most activity.
Oh, that's the migration time for the southerly, what they call the southerly migration.
Right.
And then towards about October, November is the northerly migration again.
Right.
And it's it's kind of a neat thing. It's kind of neat to, the more we find out about them, the better we are. And it's amazing. What's amazing is how many people have these encounters and how many people are having encounters. I mean, you just have to put it in perspective. I mean, I get about 10 to 15 calls a week on the hotline. And, I mean, that's just one little old hotline, on the Internet, right?
Right.
But how many people have these encounters that never report them?
It has to be
quite a few. And,
it has to be the ration, if you put in, let's say if 10,000 people see a Bigfoot, you'd be lucky if 100 call you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And most of them won't because of the fear of retribution and heckling and not all that, but the first time they say it, right there in their own family, they get heckled. They don't even have to go outside of their family. I mean, right there, right in front of them, they get it.
Yeah. Trust me when I tell you, people in my family, they look at me and they think I'm nuts. Because I was telling you in a previous show, I had a relative over here until he heard it, and he heard the bushes moving, and then he actually believed it. I mean, there are a lot of people who feel the same way. Honestly, I don't particularly care what they think, and I always say it to you. And I'll say it again, I challenge anyone, I'll take any lie detector test, I'll do whatever the hell they want me to do, I don't care, because I'm telling the truth and I see them. And what it is, I know what to look for, like we talked about last week, and, like the time, recently when I stopped the light and I saw one walk right behind me, if I didn't know that Bigfoots existed, or if I hadn't seen them before, I would have thought it could have been 100,000 other things, but obviously it wasn't.
Steve, that's what happens. A lot of people, before they see them, before they have an encounter experience, the signs are always have been there that they're around. The tree twists, tree formations, footprints, all kinds of stuff. But nobody, you don't pay attention to it.
Right.
Once your attention is drawn into the creature and you start paying attention to what's around you, what your surroundings are, you get more and more, you learn more. And when you learn more, you find out, my God, these things, this isn't a once-in-a-lifetime thing. These things are all over the place.
And
yeah,
there's a lot more, buddy, there's a lot more than people think there is. I'm telling you, man, there's a lot, lot more.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've always thought that.
People might think there's only a certain amount. To me, I think it's endless. There could be so many of them. Only God knows really how many they are, but I'm telling you, there's a lot more than what people think. I remember as a kid watching the $6 Million Man when they had Andre the Giant playing Sasquatch, and everyone was acting like there's only one Sasquatch. There's more than one. There's a lot of them. And we keep on doing what we're doing and saying what we see. People, not just me, but a lot of other people too. My message, please, man.
Once the message gets out there, come out
and say something. Just say it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The more we find out about these creatures, the more knowledge we're going to have. And that's the only way we're going to find out more about them.
Absolutely. And that's the way it's been. In fact, if you were to ask people today, 10 years ago, if you were to ask somebody that, they would never even, they'd say, oh, that's just a fairy tale. Well, now today, because of all the other things going on, the TV programs and other things, general population is knowledgeable, at least knowledgeable in that there are things out there. And so, there's more of awareness of it than before. And it'll get better.
Absolutely.
And the scientific community eventually, once they get past their problems, they'll cave in and start collecting data, what they need to do it. They're intrinsic evidence.
Right, but I think the scientific community does know what the truth is, and I think, I don't want to get too political, but I think there's people who don't want them to say anything either. That's part of it too,
Well, it's not. I don't think it's a factor that they don't want people to know. I think it's a factor. It's the same as general people. They don't want to be ridiculed as well. If you give a reputation as a doctor or a scientist, and you're telling everybody that you see Bigfoot all the time, that kind of does away with all your your certifications. people pay you money for your certifications, and of course, if they're going to come out and put their life on the line, they're staking their reputation to do that, and that's money, that's their income. It gets taken away from them, and their reputation. So I think that's more of the crisis than keeping it from the people. They have the same fears as we do, except it affects them in a larger manner. Well, Steve, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. We're going to see you at the end of the show here.
That's right. It's always a pleasure, buddy. Thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure having you. Thanks for giving me a call.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.
Take care, and we're going to go to a little commercial here, and when we come back, we'll be talking to Richard. And let me find the button for the... Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. And also, I'd like to make a little plug out there for our store. Rocky and Swede have both been just wonderful patrons of letting people you know, people look at their hats and their T-shirts and their jackets and things, and, man, where can I get one of those? Well, basically, we have a store, and we have a lot of different things, T-shirts, hats, jackets, cups, movies, little belt buckles, all kinds of stuff, pins. And they're on another website. It's called shoppingforbigfoot.com. So you just go www.shoppingforbigfoot.com, and you'll be taken right to that page. You can take a look at the stuff that we have, and if you want something, then order it, and it'll get to you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's go out here to Richard from New York, and let's see what's been going on with Richard this past week or so. Richard, how are you?
Yeah, hi, Bill. It's starting to really blossom, like Steve said.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to get green here. The cover's coming back.
Sure.
So I think it's going to be jumping around here very shortly. I tried to send you a footprint today of it was about between 14 and 15 inches.
Mm-hmm.
With three toes, and you can see, and there's probably five toes, but only three are showing.
Yeah.
And you can see where the toes actually dug in.
Sure.
As it walked, the very tips.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the whole print, but you can see three indentations where toes would be.
Sure.
And that was less than a half mile from my house.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And the area that I took that print from, Bill, is connected by a power line to where I had the real good sighting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is activity. My wife keeps on saying, you're crazy. There can't be anything around the house. Oh, yeah. I've actually found the development I live in has got a stream that runs right through it with a gully. I mean, you know how they like that type of, and they have no problem in coming and looking, you know, being around houses. Believe me.
No, they don't.
What I've read and what I've seen.
Well, you've seen. We've had a lot of different cases where they've been right up next to the house, right. Heck.
And
remember the guy was shaving in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Looking out the window and looking at a face in the window.
Yeah.
While he was shaving him. Almost scared him to death, so he ran around the front, and the doggone things tried to get his dogs unchained.
I think they're drawn to it. They're curious.
Well, yeah, they're curious.
Yeah, and anybody that says it can't happen... They killed a bear today in the city of Albany. They killed a bear. It's the third time it's been back, so they euthanized it. So people don't think that Mother Nature comes to the city or close to it?
No, they do.
I mean, we have turkeys running around here. People go, I said, why they go in the woods? They got them right here.
Sure.
Turkeys.
Well, with the way things are nowadays, a lot of the habitat that the wild animals used to have no longer have because we've encroached upon their the areas that they live in. And they still got to live. And the stuff is, you know, the wooded areas and other things are still there. The only difference is that there's houses and people, you know, close to where there wasn't before.
Right in their
and
area.
So I don't think that makes a difference at all. I think they'll come down to what if they need to, they'll come down right wherever they need to get this stuff.
We went to New York City over the weekend,
mm-hmm.
and I went right past more or less where Steve lives. Coming back on the thruway, we counted over 30 deer on the side of the road on the thruway.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of food for, and you know, basically from maybe 20 miles outside New York City all the way to a place called Ravina. I mean, they were all, I was afraid we were going to hit one. So they have plenty of food for them. This is like the, this is like Mother Nature bounty for them here now.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as Steve said yellow eyes, Bill, I actually have, you probably wouldn't see it, but I actually have a photo of a creature, and the eyes are like a yellow or amber color.
Sure.
It's not, I haven't seen red like people say they see.
Well, they don't say it's pure red. A lot of times it's a kind of an orangish red.
And that one photo, that the one video I have with the little small creature that stands up and looks at me.
Yeah.
And as I turn my camera, it ducks down. I've shown that video to a bunch of people this week, and they actually see it. I can't send it to you because my computer won't let me. You know, you said you were going to send me something.
Yeah, I'll send you a thing that you can use to transfer files.
And I think I've seen, there's a guy in Vermont. I'm not going to say his name, but he's written some books. And he's on the internet all the time. If I told you his name, you would know it. And they had a habitation where it was a the creature looked kind of, the way they explained it, like the one I saw, very small, you know. And it was taking child's toys out of a sandbox. And they set up a camera, and I think they actually had a picture of it. I can't remember, but if I remember right, it looked kind of like what I saw. Not ape, not human, something in between.
Yeah, and I would believe that. It seems that they're drawn to two things. Seem to attract them. Women during their menstrual period, and little babies and things like that, dolls, stuff like that.
Bill, when I had my first sighting, my granddaughter was with me.
Hmm.
You know, and you wonder, you know, they're drawn, she was probably about 8 then.
Sure.
People, you know, they're drawn to children, especially female children. I guess they consider them less threatening.
I don't know. I know that there's been quite a few instances where that's happened.
And I've gone on. There hasn't been a lot of sightings in Albany County, though. But yet this guy from Vermont says that he comes to the Capital District for, he's got a family that has a habituation, and it's in Albany County someplace. And I'd be curious to where it is, but, you know, of course he wouldn't tell me.
Sure.
You know, I even reached out to him a couple times to come and have coffee, but, you know, I think maybe our friend in Albany County poisoned them to me, you know what I mean? You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, you can't force people to do stuff. I'm still going to get together with Steve. Dying to go with Steve. I'm just waiting for the word till he feels like, you know, I'll drive up there in a minute to go out with him.
And maybe, you've also been talking with Dave too, right?
Yeah, he tried to call me today, and I don't have his number anymore, and he doesn't hang on. I get, it says, I try to call him back, but it says unregistered number or whatever, you know? So I'll get him. He'll call me tomorrow, and I'll get the phone in time, and I'll talk to him.
Okay.
He had a lot of stuff going on there, too.
Well, I know, yeah.
We're the only 3 guys in New York State, though. What the heck's going on? There's got to be more.
No. You remember some of the other guys. I just haven't been in touch with them for a while.
Yeah.
There's 2 or 3 other people that are in New York that used to come on the show all the time.
New York should be one of the hot spots.
It is.
Well,
it is. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
I mean, the whole country's a big hot spot, as far as I'm concerned. I think that estimation of 5,000 creatures would be way too low, Bill.
Who said 5,000?
Huh? They said there had to be at least 5,000 to be able, from the breed to continue, you know.
I don't know how anybody can I just don't know how anybody can guess and say that there's 5,000, 3,000, whatever the thousands are, when they don't even know. We don't have enough information.
5,000 of which one? Of which,
well, that's what I'm saying. So we don't even know. We don't even know how many different species there are or anything. I mean, it's just a, you know, that's.
Steve and I talk, and
I mean, in order to be able to do an estimate of how many there are, you need to know. You need to know. You need to do some sort of accounting. They don't do that. They do that with deer. They do that with, you know, buffalo and all the other animals. They go to an area and they figure in X amount of square miles, and then they figure, they, you know, count how many animals they find, and then they kind of have some kind of a formula they use to figure it out. You know, well, beavers, all that stuff. You know?
Well, you have more access to it than I do. You know, you get calls from.
I don't have access to anything.
No, no, I'm just saying you get calls from, access to information. You get calls from every state, every kind of habitat.
Yeah.
It's just not woods. It's swamps.
What I can tell you right now is that there isn't a habitat that these creatures have not been found in.
Yes.
The desert. Even the desert.
Yeah, that's mind-blowing to me.
The only thing that I can tell you is I've never had a call from Hawaii.
That's the only one.
Yeah. And these creatures are all over, and I get calls from all over. I mean, my God, just when you think, I mean, you know, would you ever think South Dakota, North Dakota? Those are not, you know, those are prairie states, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no trees.
Nothing to hide behind.
Nebraska. I mean, all those places are places where, you know, so I mean,
well,
I don't think there's a limitation.
Well, Bill, every Native American tribe, plains, woodland, they've all got basically the same story, same description. So, you know, they can't all be wrong.
The only thing that's different is whether it's a good spirit or a bad spirit.
Right.
And that differs between the tribe and how they view it. And but they all have legends of these creatures. And they go back hundreds of years.
When I was in the second grade, and I remember it was the second or third grade, we had, living in Albany, we had school books about our local area, about Dutch settlers and Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember the teacher reading us from the book. It was fiction, but talking about the Indian, the Native American father warning his children about the men of the forest to be afraid of them. And that's from, you know, that's legends that passed on. I'm sure that the name of the tribe was, Native American tribes that lived all around this area. All around this area. Mohawk, Mohican, Huron. You know, so it's a very rich area for that type of stuff. You go 30 miles from here and you're in pure forest, Bill.
No, I understand. I mean, but the other thing that I need to, it really doesn't make any difference whether it's a pure, you know, it's an area where there's no people or an area where there are people. They're all different kinds of areas. There's no restriction, it seems like, that they seem to be around the populated areas as well as, you know, areas where there's, you know, very few people.
I think they go to the areas they've always gone to, whether there's people there or not, they're not going to stop going there. They've gone to the same areas, and people or not, they're still going to do follow their same routine.
Well, I think it amounts to one thing, or a couple of things. One, their habitat, they got to have water, food, and shelter. And they're going to get it wherever they can find it.
The area I go to, Bill, at one time was about 20,000 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been whittled down to about 6. And it was basically untouched.
Sure.
Forever. There was no, it was a whole, one place in this whole area where there was no building or anything. It was totally wild. And I think they've always been in there, or they've always gone there. And they're going to keep going back there.
Well, they very well could be. I mean, it's just like not all of them migrate.
I told
some
you.
Some stay in the area that they're at.
At the area separated, and there's a lake at one part of the area. And there's people fish in there. And a newspaper reporter told me that the guy that ran the concession stand kept on having his rolls taken. You know, they would drop the rolls in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they found these huge footprints, and the state trooper, they had the troopers in and everything. And that's part of my area. So, and this is a guy from one of the major newspapers in our area that I had met in a coffee shop. He had been a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
He had remembered that. You know, I basically strike up conversations with people all the time and talk about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they think I'm crazy, and sometimes they're very interested. You know the drill.
Well, yeah, well, it all depends. You know, some people are open-minded, and some people are completely closed.
Most of the people that are closed-minded have never even been in the woods or really thought of looking. They just got blinders on.
Well, Richard, I want to thank you for coming on.
You're welcome. I just wish I had more to tell you.
Well, that's all right. We're getting into the show here. There'll be a lot of questions and things to go through.
Thanks
for contacting me, Richard.
You're welcome, sir.
We'll see you at the end of the show here.
Absolutely.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Richard from New York. We're going to go back out here and talk to our buddy Anthony from Virginia. Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Marco Bill.
Anthony,
you?
I didn't get it. I could not get it. Posted. You gave me that file, but I just couldn't.
Oh, okay. You mean you didn't post it on the website?
No, I just didn't have time.
No, that's okay. That's quite all right. Yeah.
So tell us what's going on.
Well, this again, you know, unfortunately, I don't have anything but audio evidence. You know.
Well, that's all right. I mean, audio is evidence.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
I mean, you know, just happened to be spending some time out in the woods, and I was out in the clearing, and you know, I had just was stepping back, you know, just going away, you know, from what I thought was probably inactivity, and you know, probably not realizing I was being watched the entire time, you know. Then I guess. After several hours, I guess, you know, and again, this is just my theory. I guess maybe after a few hours of, you know, probably observing me and realizing I'm not being a threat, and then seeing that I'm leaving, you know, and they just started, you know, these. It almost sounded like an owl, but
yeah.
I will tell you. That, you know, I mean, it made me stop because even the ones that sound like in the distance, they sound like were kind of close, but there was just one that was so stinking close, and I mean, this thing just rattled my bones, you know. I mean, this sucker was, you know, making a whooping sound, you know. Well, when part of it I recorded, and that's what I had sent you, you know, but the other stuff's like, you know, like, I mean, it's just... It you know, like the whoop, 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 you know, and I'm just like, whoa, you know. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty spooky, you know, but, you know, I'm
you know, I don't know if they're getting used to me going into that area or not, you know. Because this particular area, I'm noticing it's kind of, it's not like the spot where I had bought Tom Biscotti, because over there, you know, I had heard some whistling and you know, how I got started in all this was, you know, the rock throwing, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, it's like I said, it is kind of interesting. But again, you know, there's nothing visual that, you know, that I could produce, but I definitely can, you know, you can, a lot of what I was hearing, you know, stepping in the woods, you know, I kind of brush it off as maybe being a deer coming by, but when I started hearing those sounds afterwards, I said, no, this is not a deer. Yeah, when you're quiet in the woods and everything like that, you know, some sound, you know, everything kind of, you know, just makes you kind of pay attention, you know, and, okay, there's a rabbit, there's a squirrel, you know, and every once in a while, you know, raccoon and deer, but I mean, when they start hollering, it's none of the common stuff, man.
Right.
So. I was going to say real quick that, you know, interestingly enough, you know, they probably were doing that for about 2 minutes, and, you know, just from what I could discern, and again, I'm not an expert, and by no means I'm saying I'm right. This is just my theory, you know. To me it sounded like, you know, they were just kind of like calling back and forth to each other, you know, kind of like, where are you? And, you know, I'm here, you know, because I've heard them in so many different directions, but they weren't, you know, as I faced where the noise was coming from, there was nothing behind me, you know, and it kind of made sense, you know, that they were kind of like, you know, definitely there was something in front of me, but it was, you know, there was some to the left and some to the right in the distance. And just to give you an idea, I was facing a creek that was flowing from my left to my right, you know. So it might be signaling, you know, let's move on, or he's leaving. I mean, I don't know how to interpret it, but, yeah, I got some of that recorded. And again, you know, some people might say it might sound like an owl sound or whatever. You know what? Come with me. And, you know, I would invite anybody to come with me and tell me if you hear an owl, you know, shout this loud, that'll just rattle your bones. I mean, this is no owl.
Well, I mean, you can't. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, you know, when you're listening to a recording. But when you're there, it's easy to tell.
I know. I understand. It's vibrant.
Okay.
It's like a, yeah, it's like having a, you know, normally a small little tiny creature can't make a vibrant, great big doggone bellowing noise, you know what I mean?
No. Yeah. So, but like I said, I mean, probably the, and I was talking to, I'm not talking, but just emailing Jim Dawson about it, you know. You know, probably the thing to do, I mean, that would kind of prove that it's not an owl. I mean, you know, you can get an average decibel or audio decibel reading, you know, just to give you an idea how loud an owl will go, because I will tell you this was a whole lot louder than, I mean, there's no way this was
right.
An owl. Yeah. So, but anyway.
Well, that's all right.
It's just audio evidence, but, you know, it just, to me, it's...
just keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing a good job.
Well, thank you.
That's what you do. You take these recordings and stuff, and eventually... You get enough of these things, and you have some sort of a cross file of a bunch of different things that are similar, and then you can compare them. And, you know, there's a lot of different things you can do with that.
Yeah. And one, it's interesting you say that, because I've been comparing a lot of the recordings that I've been making to the actual owl sounds in the area. And,
sure.
And they are not the same. They're not the same. So, but again, you know, somebody's gonna say, "Oh, you're not an expert," and blah blah blah. But you know what? You know, I'm kind of like all your other skeptical friends. You know, just
now you just
almost at a point
you
like
when you hear something that's out of the ordinary, record it. Don't worry about whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. You record it. And, you know, so you can analyze it. later on. And in that way, you can have other people listen to it and analyze it. And pretty soon you've got 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 of these things. You got something that you can use, you see. And that's how you collect evidence. And that's, I think it's a good thing. I think you're doing great.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Just trying, you know.
No, you're doing great. I mean, every week you're doing something. I want to thank you for coming on. And we'll, in a few minutes here, we'll be at the end of the show here, and we'll open it up to everybody.
All right.
I'll give you a call during the week here again to see how you're doing.
Sounds good.
Thanks for coming on, Anthony. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Anthony from Virginia. We're going to go back out here to our buddy Rocky, and we're going to go to Swede. Hey, Rocky and Swede, how are you?
Hey, Marco.
Hey, Marco. Hey, Swede.
Hey, Rocky, how are you, bud?
I'm still mad.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know how it goes.
We, me and the Swede, Tuesday, a friend of mine told me about an old boy that told him about his granddad having a sighting a couple of counties over and said he wanted to talk to us. So me and the Swede loaded up and we drove over there and we're sitting in a little old cafe getting a little bit of breakfast when the guy that we came to talk to showed up. He walked in to the restaurant, little bitty place, and as soon as he laid eyes on us, of course, we were sitting there wearing our Bigfoot T-shirts and baseball caps, and he saw us and had, I don't know, about 9 guys in tow, and he hollered all the way across the building and said, "Hey, are y'all the Bigfoot hunters?" Well, we tried to get him quietened down. He came over and sat with us, and he started just telling us about his grandpa. His grandpa saw one, told him about it when he was little. And anyhow, we talked with him for a little bit, and then the story changed a little bit. Now then, he had seen it once. And so the story progressed, and he was talking really, really loud, and it was obvious that he was playing to his all of his sidekicks out there, and we heard him laughing and snickering and all that. And anyhow, he, before it was all done with, we talked, and the longer we talked, the more he saw. And ended up, he'd seen it about 40 times.
Yeah.
Well, I asked him, had he ever thought about putting out a trail camera? Said he had one out. Said he had a whole bunch of photographs. And, anyhow, the Swede asked him, can we see him? And he said, sure, we could see him, but it was going to cost us. Well, red flag.
That's when I said, oh, I see.
Yeah, the Swede, when they first came in and he saw the big crowd that he was running with, the Swede turned to me and said, this doesn't look good. And it didn't. It wasn't. But the old boy said that he would sell me the pictures for $100. And, by that time he had blowed so much smoke up our butts that, it was pretty obvious to us that we were there to entertain the his posse.
Sure.
And anyhow.
Well, he got upset. I told him, I said, I'll never look a gift horse in the mouth. I said, before I lay, if I'm going to have to lay two bits down for one, I'm going to lift his lips. He didn't like that, did he, Rocky?
No, I asked him where the pictures were. And he said that, he asked me where the $100 was. And I told him probably in his imagination along with the pictures. And he got a little bit warm. And then I told him that, you know, me and the Swede had spent our money, wasted our time driving all the way over there so he could piss on our leg and tell us that it was raining. And so, anyhow, while this was all going on, a county cop had come in. Well, it was to the point it was starting to get a little bit heated, so me and Swede decided we'd just go ahead and leave. Well, the cop followed us out, and I was thinking, oh, great, here we are over in Booger County, and this is probably his uncle fixing to, you know, do us wrong. Anyhow, he stopped us out in the parking lot and asked what was going on. And I told him, said, you know, the T-shirt, the cap. I said, we do a little bit of research for searching for Bigfoot Incorporated. Well, he was interested in that, and he said the reason he had stopped there in the first place is because he saw the guy's truck sitting out there, and he knew it, and he knew that the guy was, he said that they were almost 100% sure that he was cooking crank out in the deep woods. And anyhow, Swede told him, he said, well, you know, he was thinking that maybe there's a drug deal fixing to go down when he pulled in there. And Swede said, well, you know, you're talking to the wrong folks about that kind of stuff. So, you know, we don't, you know, the strongest thing we take is aspirins. And he informed us. We told him what the guy said about his grandpa telling him about the site, and then he said, well, that'd be okay, but, you know, his granddad died about 5 years before he was born. And he said
yeah,
that...
Yeah, we got a pretty good enlightenment from the officer.
Yeah. Well,
he was a big trouble and big liar and all that.
Said he was the biggest liar in the county is what he said.
Yeah.
But then on the, you know, the old thing, if you get lemons, make lemonade. Well, the cop was real interested in what he was doing. And he turned out to be a really nice guy. And actually, we knew some, we had mutual friends on the police force, used to be on the police force in that area. Anyhow, he said that he had heard a lot of stuff and that he was going to call us the next time he heard something worth hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the point, well, we talked to the guy and, you know, he tried his best to make asses of us and tried his best to get some bucks. And, you know, we saw it with Tom. We saw people try to get to Tom for bucks. And anyhow, it's just, you know, it needs to be said that, you know, me and the Swede have hunted together for decades. And between the two of us, we got over 100 years worth of hunting experience. And, you know, for these guys to come up, we learned a long time ago how to read sign, And, you know, whether it's a little old chickadee picking at seeds or if it's a bear or a hog or something like that. And sometimes it's pretty easy for us to read the signs when somebody's blowing smoke up our butts. And, you know, we just, we were definitely put out. And, you know, we don't assume when we go out in the woods. Yeah, we talk about vocalizations that we've heard, but we've never said that it was a Bigfoot because we didn't see it. We don't know what it was. We just know what
right.
it was.
Right, yeah. You don't know until you actually see it or you have some other kind of proof that would suggest.
Well,
yeah,
know what it was.
We don't want to assume. We want to be able to say yes or no. I mean, we've got footprints. You've seen that disc that Robert sent you. I mean,
sure.
There's no denying what that is and what caused it. But you know, and it's still rubbing its belly over those cuties of mine that it stole. But anyhow,
see,
we have
still rubbing that wound over it, ain't he, Marco?
Right.
Yeah, it's not. I still don't find it as funny as everybody else does. But me and the Swede, you know, we've hunted so long and all that, and we just want people to, all the listeners out there, to know that we're serious. We take everything, all of this serious. We spend so much time, so much money. Marco Bell spends so much time and so much money. Tom Biscardi spends so much time and so much money doing expeditions and all that. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, want to be heard, but there's a lot of people out there that want to tell stuff that just makes, I mean, there's a lot of people that, yeah, they tell stuff that makes the whole Bigfoot community look bad.
Sure.
And you know, what I'm going on about is just telling them, don't do that. Don't do that. We have enough going against us. People have called us crazy when all they saw was that we was both wearing T-shirts that said Searching for Bigfoot Incorporated and both wearing caps that said Searching for Bigfoot Incorporated, and we did, I mean, haven't even spoke to anybody, and we had people calling us crazy. But
the majority of the people that we've run into, you know, across have been very interested, very cordial, and real cool, but there's just a few. And this guy, this guy that we talked to, is Philip, that character.
Philip.
Yeah, Philip. He, you know, he let on like it was all on the up and up, and then, you know, we took time out from our business. You know, Rocky's got to work. I've got to work. We've got, you know, families and to take care of and bills to pay, too, just like everybody else. And it was just agitating and aggravating when we get over there and he starts doing that, you know. Jacking us around like that, and it was pretty unnerving there, and you know, as we, myself, you know, if that would have happened to us 30 years ago, we'd probably messed around there and took him outside, but I wasn't thinking about it then, but you know, we was in a strange place in his yard, but he was really trying to play us for, you know, I don't know if he'd done too much drugs or whatever, but he just seemed to get more wound up as the time went by. And me and Rocky knew that we was wasting our time. We laid our money down and paid our tip, and out the door we went. But it was good. Like I say, you can make some lemonade from lemons occasionally, and most of the time try to look for that these days. And that officer was real cool, and probably we will get some tips. He's in the neck of the woods where there might be some information, don't you think, Rocky?
Oh, yeah. I would say he's in a good spot.
Good spot.
Okay, you know, I've been sounding off because I was hot. Now that I've got over, after I've got done spewing a little bit, I just had to say that, you know, the people are out there. that are going to, like I said, it's going to blow smoke up your butt. And
As I told you guys, Rocky, as I told you before, I got a call, like last week I got a call, and this guy just called me about 50 times, and he wouldn't leave a message. He'd leave a message, but he had an unknown number. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
And he wouldn't leave a doggone number that I could get a hold of him. So how am I supposed to contact him? And he was all irate and upset. So finally he called, and that was the week I was going to the doctor back and forth. And when he called and I answered the phone, he said, "Look, I've called you, you know, like 100 times." And I said, "Yeah, I know." And I said, "But you didn't leave a number that I could contact you." "Well, yeah, but what about the number dialed in?" I said, "You've got it on private. It doesn't show anything." He said, "Oh, well, I just wanted to," he said, "I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys suck."
Well,
"You're fake." And I said, why do you got to call me to tell me that? I said, "Why do you even want to waste your time?" I said, "Why bother?" And he said, "You said you were in the hospital." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Why the hell didn't you die?"
Well.
Yeah, that's the kind of people we really would like to avoid.
But, you know, that's the kind of mentality some of these people have. And I, for some reason, he has this urge that he has to contact somebody to tell him. I don't know why, but it's just a waste of time.
That was what we were trying to explain to that cop. You know, we were over there, you know, we paid for the gas. We paid for everything, wear and tear on the vehicle, missing work, which actually didn't make everybody at my house real happy. But anyhow, we don't make anything off of this.
Oh, and of course.
And for them to, I mean, of course, he was hitting us up for money.
I know.
He was offering to guide us down through his little area, but it was going to cost us.
Right.
And
I get those calls all the time, too. The guy said, "Hey, you give me $300 and I'll show you where Bigfoot is." And I said, "Why do I need to know where a Bigfoot is?" I said, "We know where they're at."
Yeah, well.
Exactly.
I think.
Do we open it up for everybody, good guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll just
say,
it's like really one of the first times. That's one of the first experiences. I mean, we know we've had people kidding around, you know, and stuff like that, barbershop, whatever. But this is the first time we've had somebody really, really jerk the chain. Now, we've been with Tom, and we've seen people try to get over on Tom somewhat. He's asked us, you know, for our opinion, and we give it to him. If he asks us for our opinion, we tell him. But
you know what? It's very frustrating when you first start getting into that kind of stuff. And it's happened so many times to me that it's just second nature now. But, you know, I got everybody on the line. I got Steve from New York, Channel Giant, Richard, Swede, Rocky, Anthony, and Snake Man. You're all on.
Rocky,
well,
Swede.
Say hi to everybody.
How you doing? Rocky, Swede. You know what?
Hey.
Hey, last year I went to a wedding out by Syracuse, New York. And
yeah.
I got lost. And I stopped and asked the policeman directions. And we got to talking, and I told him about Bigfoot. And he said him and his buddies were actually going up in the Adirondacks and looking. And he wasn't blowing smoke up my ass. He was very interested.
We meet so many people that, and usually whenever we meet the people that actually have something to say, they tend to draw us off to the side or come talk to us quietly. These guys over there in Booger County, like I say, it was come in, there was probably 10 of them all together.
Yeah,
and,
nine guys at the table.
What is Crank?
Methamphetamine.
Yeah, that's what it is?
Yeah, yeah. Methamphetamine heads.
Oh.
I thought when he said crank, I thought it might have been moonshine. Hey,
that's
sorry
what
to
I
hear
thought.
About it. Yeah, that's right. You know, guys, sorry to hear about what happened there. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people make jokes out of everything, but hopefully for all those guys, if they're listening, I hope they're walking in the woods and I hope the Sasquatch sneaks up behind them and yells at them. Then they'll realize that they are real.
Hey, there's going to be a show on Sunday night. It's got to be fake. It's on the Discovery Channel. The Russian killer, finding the Russian killer Yeti or something like that. It's
got to
be like one of those Amish Mafia things, I think, or they had a mermaid thing. That stuff makes us look, that isn't good for us when they put stuff like that on.
No, it's certainly not. It's certainly not. You know, why...
You know, reality, like you say, Rocky, reality with three or four takes and the whole crew is not reality.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was like the one guy was asking me today. He saw my Searching for Bigfoot cap, and he said, well, I have never seen you on TV before, and I said, I've never been on TV. And he said, well, you mean you don't go out with Bobo and them? I said, who the hell is Bobo? And he said, they're going finding Bigfoot. And I said, no. I said, I've got nothing to do with that. I said, you know, I said, how do you, I said, I've hunted all my life, but I've never hunted with a whole bunch of people carrying cameras and sound equipment and waving, you know, big lights around and all that kind of stuff. Because pretty sure, with, you know, all those people tagging along, making all the racket and everything, I'd probably starve to death.
And
hey, I know who that Bobo is, by the way.
Well, I know that he's on...
Matt Moneymaker.
Yeah, I know that he's on Finding Bigfoot, but I watched about 5 minutes of the show once.
You met him, Steve?
No, I haven't. Well, the other Steve.
No, I used to watch Discovery Channel, and when Matt Moneymaker appeared on the show, he always introduced Bobo.
Well, yeah, that's part of his team. They made up a team. We've met Matt Moneymaker many years ago, and it's been an ongoing clash ever since.
Well, I would think that his money, his last name, told the whole story.
That's not his real name, from what I understand.
What's that? Matt Moneymaker?
Moneymaker's not his real last name.
Oh, well, the heck it ain't. He's got a movie and a bunch of other stuff that we made.
Well, you know.
Hey guys, getting back to
thing, but they can go at it however they want to go, if that's the way they want to go at it, but that's not the way I'm going to go at it.
No. Matt Moneymaker is in charge of the BFRO. He started the BFRO.
Well, I've never watched the show, and I noticed I was watching TV just the other night, and all of a sudden they was showing Searching for Bigfoot's going to have the Turtle Man on. Well,
right.
Now that's a real...
To who?
You know, the Turtle Man from Kentucky. Some retarded guy that catches wild animals.
Oh, the wild man.
That's the Turtle Man.
Yeah, they're going to have the Turtle Man on the Finding for Bigfoot.
Oh, my gosh, that's crazy. Now, I watched the show one time, and I thought, boy.
I mean, it's not like we don't have enough going against us.
Oh, yeah.
The Bigfoot community will get the Turtle Man on, make us look really stupid.
You know what? I watch the show, and I say I just wasted an hour of my life. They never see anything. They never find anything.
Okay, now.
Yeah, because they go about it the wrong way. There's no way they could see anything the way they do it because they're out in the woods. They got cameras. They're making noise. There's no way they're going to see a Sasquatch like that. Anyone who's ever gone hunting, if you're going to go hunting, it's the same thing like going hunting or going fishing and having a radio with loudspeaker on. You're not going to catch anything or look at anything.
Yeah, and the thing is, you can't blame the organization for this. It's none of their doing.
No, it's money.
It's the producers of the show.
Yeah.
They run what goes on. They tell them what to do. And there's been several conflicts that the BFRO have had with the producers in trying to, you know, fake things and other things, and they did not want to go through with it or anything else. And so, and of course, a couple of times they were caught. And of course, who are they going to blame? They're going to blame the BFRO. Well, the BFRO didn't have anything to do with it. It was all to do with the production crew and the guy that was in charge of the money and everything else. So it's all about money.
I can understand them wanting to make the money, but, you know, it just makes it really hard on a couple of Arkansas boys like me and the Swede that ain't making nothing. You know, the fact is, if it wasn't for Marco Bell and Tom Biscardi, I wouldn't give a damn one way or the other. I probably wouldn't mess with it at all. I'd go out and I'd be out hog hunting and
do
all
what
that.
You
but, you know, I was allowed, Marco Bell and Tom Biscardi were the first ones I ever told anything about. I didn't even tell the Swede until a couple of years after I told, Tom about my sighting, and of course, Swede kind of chewed my ass out for not telling him, but he's done that before anyhow. So
yeah. Has anybody here been almost arrested for doing this? I have. I was taking pictures. Supposedly, I was taking pictures of a woman I never saw. Some old woman.
Well,
she chased me down the road. Call the police.
Well, we've had the police called on us and stuff, but I don't think we've ever got close to being arrested.
Oh, I was one step from sitting in the back of the squad car with cuffs on, I swear to God.
Well, now, that old boy that called on us down there in Texas, it wouldn't have taken much to get... I was mad enough that I could have been arrested that day for...
Yeah.
Something like assault and battery. But cooler heads prevailed.
That's true. Were those guys
intoxicated guys? It sounds like they might have been drinking.
The ones
no, they weren't
Booker
drinking.
Kevin?
They were drinking
they were
coffee.
Cranking.
But
yeah, I don't know what they had.
That's just, you know, that's to me, you know what, that's just people being stupid and not understanding and, you know, they haven't seen them and stuff like that, and they think it's all a big joke, but we know, because we've seen them, that it isn't. And people like that, they want to waste people's time. They don't understand that, you know, people live, you know, their lives, they have a budget, so on and so forth, they have
right.
a family. But, you know, people who do bad things, eventually bad things come their way. And all those guys who did that, they're going to get theirs in the end.
I would say most people who do what we do don't really drink or do drugs because... You're so preoccupied with this. This is like where my energy goes and my drive goes. And I think most of us would be that way. I never did anyways, but I've never met anybody that did.
We spend as much time as we possibly can out there, and used to, we wouldn't spend as much time as we do now, but when we did spend our time out there, we were looking. I mean, that was our grocery store. You know, we was out there deer hunting, we was hog hunting. Now that it's a whole different thing. I mean, we hunt. We still hunt every chance we get, but now then we're looking for more than just a deer or just a hog or a squirrel or a rabbit or a coon for Richard.
did you guys hear what I said to Bill about all the deer I saw Saturday?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
I heard that.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That's another day in Arkansas.
Yeah, that's
you know what? You know what we call it when we see that many deers in Arkansas?
Dinner.
And now we call it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. we see it all the time.
We have a tremendous herd of whitetails in northwest Arkansas. It's tremendous.
But.
Do you guys have mule deer?
Whitetail.
You don't have mule deer in Arkansas?
No.
No?
No.
No, the Swede found the Bullfrog gold mine the other day. Did you go back out there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You get some pro?
Tell you, I got a bucket full.
How big a bucket?
A 5-gallon bucket.
So when's it on?
Well, I figured it'll probably be Friday. I was thinking about tomorrow, but Christian's graduation is tomorrow night.
Well, am
so
I got an invite?
Come on over Friday evening.
Richard, we're having frog legs.
Oh, you know
come
what?
Visit.
How close is the nearest airport? I'll fly down. And I got to go to Little Rock?
Yeah. No, you can go to, I don't even know what the name of the damned airport is around here.
Yeah, they're going to have what they call Phyllis Jumping Chicken.
That's exactly what it is.
You going to throw some crawdads in?
We haven't got any crawdads, but it's time to go get some, but we hadn't went.
Well, the frogs were up in the pond. We had to go down to the creek to get the crawdads.
Yeah,
I was going to say something. I better not say it. I told this girl how you guys ate beaver. I can't go any farther.
Yeah, okay.
about the turtle man going to be on that show. Why do you all need the turtle man when you already got the snake man with the Searching for Bigfoot team?
There you
Bruce, you're not crazy. That guy's crazy.
No, he's retarded. There's a difference between crazy and retarded.
Hey, I just want to stress one other point. There's also no membership fee with searchingforbigfoot.com, you know. So,
yeah,
the guys from BFRO, they charge a membership fee.
Oh, yeah, really?
Do they really?
Yeah, look them up on the website. It's a few hundred bucks, and you have to be invited.
Hey,
you
know what? Let me tell you something about the turtle man. I think his IQ is higher than the number of teeth in his mouth. You know what really?
Hey, I wanted to say something. You know, like me and Rocky, we'll get out. We'll go to the barber shop. We go down to the places and this and that and the other. And it's really funny how it all starts out. A couple guys will ask a question, and before you know it, there'll be a few people around, and about half of those people will be young people. And we've come to enjoy our public speaking to the young people because they ask all kinds of questions about everything.
We had a kid just the other day to ask us if he could be our apprentice. And we said no. told him that we had to work. Told him we didn't have time to teach him the ropes, but which he was seemed to be a good kid, but
Rocky, how many of them had asked us, you know, like what kind of food do you take, or you know, do you guys carry first aid kit? You know, a lot of the stuff that we talk about on the segment is stuff that we've spoken with, you know, young people and out and about, and it's funny how it gets that way. That's what makes it kind of enjoyable, is when we get to talk to some, you know,
Steve.
Kids that want to know something. They want to learn something. They're interested in this Bigfoot thing, I'm telling you.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Guys, Rocky,
you
get,
well, everybody,
you guys
I want to thank, all of you for coming on the show tonight and sharing your experiences and your insights. We're going to be back next week. Want everybody out there to keep Bigfooting and keep the Bigfoot alive.
I want to thank
everybody
for
doing well. And we'll see everybody next week. Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
Good night, guys. Take care, guys. Good night,
Marco.
Good night, Marco. Thank you for the show.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mission mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We're all together, reason for the fact.